people that have requested to have refuge. I think some of her requesting some refuge or pranimoksha and so forth. And this is very, very important. There's a lot involved in this conversation that we just read. And maybe you're looking at it going, well, all I really see is that he said this guy's in big trouble. Cut him out. And the other thing that he says is, if anybody has any doubts about any of these teachings, ask me now. And no one does. And then he says, great. If you're afraid to ask me, right? Because many times students are afraid to ask the teacher the question. Especially when they have in their mind, the teacher is going to say, didn't I explain this to you before? So then they become a little nervous about asking questions. They don't want the correction. So Buddha says, fine. This is your opportunity to ask each other while I'm still here. In other words, it's a satsang. If you're not familiar, the satsang is a Sanskrit word and means in the company of the teacher, in order to discuss Dharma. It's a fireside chat meal. A fireside chat in the presence of the teacher that is informal and formal at the same time. So it's not like you're going to sit around and discuss football. The discussion is definitely about the Dharma, but it's free that you can ask whatever kinds of questions. And so the Buddha says, talk among yourselves. So he's thinking, maybe a monk will turn to a monk and say, I don't get this. And then that monk may not know, and maybe he'll be brave enough to raise his hand and say, for the benefit of others, what do you say in regard to this? Right? Because that kind of thing happens too. Which is an important thing to think about as a student. Especially the more senior students. If you're in a class setting, and a topic is being discussed, and you may think, it could be that these newer people may not know this. It's a very, very good idea. We see it throughout the sutras, is to ask on their behalf. And don't point them out and go, I don't think that guy knows. That's not what you do. What you do is you say, for the benefit of clarity, could you then explain this? And the teacher will already know what's happening. That's a very positive thing to do. That's also found in satsang. But a great teaching leading up to this that the Buddha talks about in that last line that he says, all conditioned things are subject to vanish. Now, when we say subject to vanish, it doesn't mean that they have the possibility or potential to vanish. What he means is that they will, in fact, and are assured to vanish. Everything. All the things that you're experiencing in life. All the objects that you own, wish to own, do not want to own. All of these will also vanish. At some point, the planet Earth will also vanish. Because it is the nature of suns, the supernova at a specific age, which will incinerate planet Earth, because we're close enough that there will be nothing left. So we can work to save this place as much as we want, but at some point we will not be able to shield it from a supernova. Even if we could, what are we going to do when there's no sun? The planet wouldn't function anyhow. So at some point, it all will go away. And maybe we're not concerned about something that's 500,000 years in the future. Which I think is what they're calculating. Something like that. It's not that far, really. It's less than a million years. So we're like, you know, we're getting close to retirement age, you know, where we're going to have to put the Earth in a convalescent home. But here's my point. Going back to your text, under the refuge and generating bodhicitta heading in the Sunday liturgy, the very first statement is actually even the first word, until. Until. Anyone know what that word means?
Definite will happen in the future.
Right.
The time being until something definitely will happen.
Yes. For the moment. It's like a... It's like this train that's coming down the tracks. For the moment, you're free to stand on those tracks, but at some point, you will have to get off of them or run over. There is a definite coming. The line is, until I reach enlightenment. For the time being that I don't have my enlightenment, which is coming just like a freight train, you will not be able to ever avoid your enlightenment. I know some of you really want to try to avoid it as much as possible. You may say, I'm not trying to avoid it, but all of your activities do everything to avoid it. But the train is going to run you over, either in this lifetime or a future one, but it's coming. It's not something that you can permanently avoid. In the meantime, we take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, the path, and the practices. Those two things aren't said in here, but they're kind of implied because it talks about doing the six perfections. That is path and practice. So it's kind of hidden in there. At a certain point, the supports will not be necessary. But until that point, we're seeking refuge from our own impulses, our emotionalism, our habitual patterns. Because that's what's causing us problems. Refuge is a temporary shelter. You hear that? Refuge is temporary shelter. You may only get refuge in the three jewels until, there's that word, you attain enlightenment. You may only be a refugee within the spiritual realm up until you receive your citizenship. Once you have citizenship, you're no longer a refugee. You're full 100% citizen, voting rights and everything else. They're going to tax the daylights out of you. They're going to do whatever it is that every other citizen has. You're free to come and go as you want because you're no longer a refugee. You don't have to stay in the camp or whatever it is that you're in. You're a complete, total member of that society. When we take refuge, we are refugees. We go amongst the Buddhas, the Dharmas, and the Sanghas. We interact with the way and the practices in order to learn the language, the culture, and the mindset so that we can go take your citizenship exam and become full citizen. At that point, we're done with all the refugee training. Everything that we do and we practice is for your support. Listen very carefully. The six perfections are very, very, very important. Do not approach them from the perspective that I have to go and study everything about generosity and do everything I can to be generous, give everything to Goodwill and give it money to every guy on the street corner. This is the wrong approach. Same thing with the patience and the discipline and the right effort and all of these other aspects. But the six perfections, in fact, are the things that when you take refuge and you follow the Buddha, you follow the Buddha Dharma, his direct teachings, you follow the community that he establishes, and you saw in there that he creates a hierarchy. See, while Buddha was around, there was only one guru. Now, there were other teachers. Ananda had students. All the other high-level folks all had students, but they all just ran around calling each other brother or friend. Everybody was all the same level, no matter if they were a novice or they were a full bhiksu. It didn't matter because there was only one master, Shakyamuni. Buddha's like, as soon as I'm gone, these are going to be representatives. It is very, very important that when we engage the Dharma, especially those of us in the West who have access to almost everything, which I have to say is very unfortunate. It's fortunate when you're prepared, unfortunate for those who have no preparation. I'll explain that in a moment. But it is very important that we don't abandon or turn away from the structure of authority that the Buddha has given. That structure or authority is not what's going to give you enlightenment. They're not going to come and put a dot on your forehead and claim you have enlightenment. They're not going to somehow magically bless you and you're going to attain nirvana. That's not what they're there for. They are there to guide, assist, instruct, and give discipline when needed in order for you to attain six perfect things that are necessary for enlightenment to blossom within yourself. The paramitas, the perfections. There are six characteristics that must be developed. Here's my point. How many of you ever go on WebMD? Or something like it? Anybody? Yes, a few of you? Right. So, what happens? You're in there, you're cooking dinner, you got your knife out, you're cleaning, you know, you're cutting something up, and then all of a sudden you cut off your finger, right? Right at the knuckle, falls into the salad, you dig it out, you're bleeding everywhere, and what do? You don't go to the hospital, you open up and Google, how do I reattach a finger that's been severed off the body? Right? Or whatever it is that you're traveling onto the WebMD for. But this is what you do, and here's what's great. So you see an article that says, go get a torch, some fuel, and a lead stick, and weld it back on, right? You'll see stuff like that. I mean, there's some wacky stuff. Another one will say, get a tube of caulking, and you can caulk it back on. Another one will say, use fishing line and a carpet needle. Another one will say, use a whole bottle of super glue, whatever it is.
And go sweet.
And then you get another one of those wacky ones that says, quickly chew 6 pieces of gum until it's soft, and then stick that on there and put it together. And the gum will hold it, right? All that kind of stuff.
And pull it down.
Yeah, and it falls down again. So here's what happens. You go on there. How many have you go on there and the thing that you tried didn't work? Anybody have that happen? Because that's what's happened to me. I go on there and it doesn't work, and then I go to my doctor, and the doctor looks at it and goes, why is there gum stuck inside this cut? And I say, well, I went on WebMD, and Dr. So-and-so down in Texas said, put gum in there. You know what doctors think of WebMD? They never want you to go on that website. Now, my personal physician is from Mayo Clinic, right? One of the real big guns of the medical industry in America. You know what she says? Don't use WebMD. Just call me. Don't Google it. Call me. So I think to myself, why should I do that when I have Google? Right? Because American thinking, I don't have to go to you. Why should I have to go to you? I can just get the information, do it myself. And in fact, if you really want to, you can pay a small fee. It's not. It's incredibly expensive. But you can pay this fee and have access to medical journals online. That means you can go in and you can see the Harvard Medical Journals. You can go in and look at Oxford. You can look at all. And so now you have total access. So you can type in there, okay, how to treat migraine. And you will see the type of trials and drugs and things that they're doing. All the chemistry, everything. And you can try to start self-diagnosis and self-medication. There's a problem though. One, at least I don't have a medical degree. So when I go to a pharmacy and I say, yeah, I need to treat myself with 650 milligrams of this, and I need 200 milligrams of that, they look at me and say, do you have a prescription? And I say, hold on. Pull out a notepad, and I write it down, and I hand it to them, and they go, no, we're not filling that. That's not a prescription. You need to go to a licensed physician and get a real prescription. And I say, hey, I got this from Google. I already diagnosed myself. This is what I need according to this one journal. They're not going to fill it. Now comes all the horror stories of people that have done this. Self-medication and all this, and they have all kinds of horrible problems. The quest for the spiritual path is the same. It's the same. Yes, you have access to all of these, all this stuff. Everybody's translating everything and just throwing it out there. You can go on YouTube and you can spend 6 months listening to Dharma talks from every teacher, from every tradition. You can self-medicate your samsaric condition. But that's not the prescription the Buddha gave. Listen, the purpose of a Buddha, the purpose of the community he establishes, all of the teachers, preachers of the Dharma, gurus, param gurus, whatever system, the reason they exist is to put you through med school. The idea is you want to become a physician. A real live medical doctor. A board certified one. The only way to get that in the United States is to go through med school. To get a doctorate degree in medicine. And complete your internships and all of this stuff through an accredited system. That means the professors and the staff that oversee your internship, your academics, all of those things are also board certified. You cannot go to the online school of most awesome University of Tahiti online tech school and get an MD degree. They won't send you in the mail a certificate saying you are now a medical doctor and have achieved the level of this so you can go and take your board certification. You can't get that. We can do that with maybe a master's in business because nobody's life is on the line. When you're a medical doctor, you're dealing with people's actual lives. They're going to live or die based on what you do with them. And in this case, we're trying to self-medicate properly. Because the Buddha says we are our own doctor, but until we learn the system of medicine, we can't self-treat. So we're all diseased going through med school. And none of the faculty is treating our disease. Why? Because here's what they're allowed to do. This is some weird realm that we're in, but this is just how it works. They are allowed to lay you down on the table and take their little knife and make an incision and open it up, and they're allowed to go, you see that in there? And you're going, yeah, that's a cancer. But they're not allowed to remove it, because in our spiritual system, you're the only one who can remove your own karmic problems. They can give you all kinds of medicine to temporarily relieve things, but you have to attain your own enlightenment. They can't do all of it. They're only allowed to do 75%, which is all the work up to taking the tweezers and pulling out the last piece. If you don't have them help, the problem is right here. You're going to be digging around in here, digging around in here. You're going to be digging around all over the place that has nothing to do with the actual problem. I see it all the time because we Googled it. Oh, I got a real pain in my side. Okay, take a hook, put it up the right nostril, and scrape. That's not going to help this. But because we saw it on Google, how many of us are going to try it? And, by the way, it's got 5 stars out of 2 reviews. I'll do it. 2 reviews, 5 stars. Now, how many of you look at stuff like that? Ooh, this one got 100 reviews. It has 4.5 stars. It must work. Until you attain your enlightenment. This is the system that we're to follow. It's necessary. But at the same time, at the very end, just like everything that is compounded, we have to let it vanish. More on this topic as we go along. So let's go to our meditation and mantra practices.